Church, it is indeed a great day, a wonderful day. As David would say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And that should be true of every day that we have. Certainly want to wish all of our fathers in the audience a very happy Father's Day. If you're wondering who's on my tie, that's my daughter at two, a Father's Day gift that I will forever treasure. And it is indeed a joy and a blessing to be a father, but such an awesome responsibility as well. This morning we are going to be looking at Psalm 23. We're going to be looking at a lesson entitled, Our Shepherd, as we think about God as our Father, and how that He blesses us, He watches over us, He protects us, and all the benefits that we as His children, as His sheep, enjoy because of Him. Before we enter into that lesson, I ask you to join me in prayer at this time. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your amazing love, Your grace, Your mercy that You have bestowed and continue to bestow upon us as Your children. Father, we are so grateful for all the many blessings with which You bless us. And Father, we thank You for the greatest gift of all, that is salvation, that was only made possible by the sacrifice of Your Son. Father, we are so unworthy, but we thank You that You love us and that You care for us and that You are our shepherd. Be with us this morning as we study Your Word. Help us to hear Your Word and help us to apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Story is told about an orator who came into a small country town, and people gathered to hear him speak. He quoted many of the greats, from Tennyson to Frost to Shakespeare, quoted classics like the Gettysburg Address, and then he quoted Psalm 23. And he quoted it very beautiful, very easy on the ears. All who heard it were so impressed. But in the back of the audience was this older preacher, and he slowly raised his hand. And the orator noticed his hand up and said, "Yes, sir, may I help you?" And the preacher said, "If you're okay with this, would it be possible for me to quote that as well?" The orator, a little taken back by this, but saw no harm in it whatsoever, said, "Sure, that would be fine." So the older preacher got up and slowly made his way to the front. And then with his southern accent, his broken, choppy English, he quoted Psalm 23. After he was finished, there wasn't a dry eye in the audience. The orator made this observation. He said, "I knew the psalm, but he knew the shepherd." And my friends, Psalm 23, many times, is a psalm that we have heard quoted time and time again. We've heard it whether standing at the graveside of a loved one, in a Bible class as an offering of encouragement. But we've heard it all of our lives. So we know the psalm. But I ask you this morning, do you know the shepherd? I want us to look at our text. And I want us to see our shepherd this morning. And the love that he has for us, and just how awesome it is that He is our shepherd, and how blessed we are because He is our shepherd. I want you to note in the first place that the Lord is a personal shepherd. If we look at our text, you'll notice, and it's on your outline as well, that in the English Standard Version, 17 times there are personal pronouns that are used. As we read, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. You prepare, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we talk about the Lord being our shepherd, collectively, I want you to focus in individually for just a moment, as David does begin Psalm 23 by writing, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, He cares about you. He cares about your life, what you are facing, what you are enduring. And then just think about that concept for just a moment. In the grand scheme of things, when you just look out in the universe, you look out in the world today, we seem to be so minor, so insignificant, but not in the eyes of God. We have great value. We have great worth. That He cares about me, my life, my pain, my suffering, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Every day, no matter what, He cares about me, so that I may come before Him, come before His throne. I may approach Him at any hour of the day with the assurance as a child of God that He will hear and that He will answer my prayers. He knows every intimate detail about our lives. He knows us unlike anyone else. Oh, He knows all the skeletons in the closet. But here's the beauty of that. He still loves us. Right? You see, sometimes we try to put on a face, try to put on this little fake us to other people, because we're afraid if they really knew us, they wouldn't like us. Well, God really knows us. And He loves us. And He cares about us. And He is there for us. And we are told from Scripture that He will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. He is there always. He is a personal shepherd who knows everything and cares about everything. And what a blessing that is to know that the God of Israel is also the God of David, the God of not just a nation, but a God of individuals. He is my God. He is your God. The Lord is a personal shepherd. And what a great blessing, amen, to know that He knows us, that He loves us, and that He is there for us. But number two, He's not only a personal shepherd, he is a providing shepherd. I want you to note, go back to verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let's stop and think about that word for just a moment. What do we mean by want? Everybody in here, you probably want something, right? I mean, we all have material desires to some degree. I got back in generally the week of camp. It was same with Florida as well. The week of camp, they would have the WWDC, I believe I'm right, in saying that. And usually Apple would make some kind of big announcement. And generally speaking, it would be a new iPhone. Well, I come back, no new iPhone, just iOS 7 and a couple of other things. But generally, it would be the new iPhone. And no matter what, they could just upgrade and just now it's just got one more megapixel than the previous one. Guess who's going to want it? Me. I don't know what it is, but I like technology, and that is one of my weaknesses. And my wife has to make sure that I keep it within budget. And she does. She'll let me know. But we want. When I was 16, what did I want? A fast car. What did I get? A four-cylinder Toyota Corolla. 0 to 60 in 5.2 minutes, okay? We're not talking about our earthly wants, our fleshly wants, our fleshly desires. What we're talking about is being complete, spiritually speaking. Having everything that we truly need in this life and in the life to come. And when the Lord is your shepherd, you stand in need of nothing because with Him you have everything. Do you understand that? Do you get that? And so He is a providing shepherd. He provides Himself and all the blessings that come with that, which includes, number one, sustenance. As you go back to verse 2, the sustenance that He provides, spiritually speaking, but as we think about it from a physical point of view to understand the value of it, is number one, He says that He leads us or makes us to lie down in green pastures. What's the imagery there of the green pastures? Being able to eat, being able to have plentiful, it's bountiful, it's green. There's all that you can eat, more than enough. You're well fed. And God feeds us with His holy word, right? We have all things that we need pertaining unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. When we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. That the man of God may be complete. Right? That we may have all things. And so He makes sure that we are fed. And so we have food. We have drink. You remember Jesus speaking to the woman at the water at the well. And saying that I have a drink that you can drink, and if you drink, you will never thirst again, right? He provides that to us as well. But you also see rest in this verse, because He makes me to lie down. Now, one thing I know I'm going to do today, I can guarantee you, unless there's an emergency call or my family needs me for something, we're going to go eat lunch somewhere. I don't know where. But my belly will be full and I'm going to take a nap. It goes without saying. And so you picture you're well fed. You're not thirsting. And now you're able to lie down. But I want you to understand just how awesome this is. Because sheep had many predators, right? They have many predators. And so naturally they would be fearful. And to lie out in an open green pasture is like inviting the wolves to come in. You would feel like you had no protection. But when their shepherd was there, they could lie down with no fear and have the rest that they needed. And so we see the sustenance. We also see in verse 3 the support. He restores my soul. It's a word that kind of means to bring to life again, if you will. There are times every one of us, and this week at camp the theme was strength will rise. Every one of us, we will feel like our faith is weak, that we are struggling, that we need, as we sing many times, we need to light the fire, right? When we turn to God, as David said in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, or the joy of your salvation in some translations. But that joy being restored, making sure that inwardly you have that life. When we turn to God, He is the source of that, and He will give us that strength when we are weary. He will provide that for us. And so He restores our soul. And so we have support. We have safety. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. You see, many times when it's left up to man, man will walk. We'll go somewhere. But without God, we don't know how to get from point A to point B, that is from earth to heaven, right? You see, we need instruction, we need guidance, and He provides that to us as He leads us through His Word today, as He gives us those instructions, gives us that safety of knowing the path that we are to walk. Because there's a path that leads to destruction, right? But there's also a path that leads to eternal life. And He has revealed to us and has walked that path that leads to eternal life. He has given that to us so that we may have safety. And He also provides strength. You drop down to verse 5 and you read, He anoints my head with oil. What does that say? Along the path, many times, you're going to have cuts and you're going to have scrapes. And so you're going to need this ointment. You're going to need this healing so that you can get better, so that you can keep walking, so that you can endure whatever it is you have to, because that path, that walk is going to be difficult. And He provides that. He anoints our heads with oil. And so He gives us the strength that we need to make it. So that because of Him, because of His strength, we can finish the race. And so the Lord is, number one, a personal shepherd. He is, number two, a providing shepherd who also gives us, in verse 6, security. If you see that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you walk that path, you finish the race. What do you have? Eternal life in Him. You have that blessing forever. And so He provides what we need now, in this life, and in the life to come. But number three, He is also a protecting shepherd. We are told in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can, if you will, for just a moment, remove even though. That is in the text. I'm not saying it's not in the text, but I just want you to understand. Every child of God will, at one point or another, along the path of righteousness, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it is going to vary for every one of us, whatever it might be. But we will endure trials and tribulations. We will face hardships. We will go through times that we cannot even begin to imagine how we might overcome. And so we're walking through this valley of the shadow of death, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. That's a promise. And maybe you're thinking about becoming a Christian this morning. You're like, whoa, wait a minute, Chris. I don't know about that now. No, it's worth it, my friends. It's worth it. Oh, yeah. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't walk alone. You don't walk alone because you'll read first and foremost about His presence. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How? How, David? How can you say I will fear no evil? Especially the imagery there of a sheep walking through the valley of the shadow of death with all these predators out there, not knowing, not even being able to see what is ahead of you. How can you say I will fear no evil? David tells us, for you are with me. It's your presence. I'm not walking alone. I'm walking with God. And because He is there, because of His presence, then I can fear no evil. Because of His presence, we also have His prevention. Reading about a rod and a staff, comforting. They do two things. First, they can be used to beat off an enemy, to prevent danger from coming. But also the staff, many times, not only the prevention, but the preservation, can be to pick up the sheep that might be about to fall off the cliff, about to fall down and be destroyed. To preserve it, to get it back on the path of righteousness. And so His presence, His prevention, His preservation, and then His peace. Having that peace, your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. They give me peace. What is that telling us? It's not saying that life's going to be easy. Mm-mm. It's not saying that when you become a Christian, everything's just going to work out for you. Mm-mm. No, what we're being taught is this. When you become a Christian, you have a shepherd. You have a shepherd who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. He is your personal shepherd. He's there for you. He cares about you. He loves you. And He will be there for you. He's a providing shepherd. He will give you everything that you need so that you will never be in want. You will have all that you need to make it through this life, to overcome, to persevere, to be well fed, to be protected, to make it, to have a home in heaven. But He also will be your protecting shepherd so that when you are going through the trials and tribulations, you are facing the difficulties of life, He walks with you side by side to help you to overcome, to persevere. He does not want you to be destroyed. He does not want you to get off the path of righteousness and be overcome by an enemy. He wants you to finish the course so that you can spend eternity with Him. That's what He wants. He loves you, and He wants to spend forever with you. You are His sheep. He is your shepherd. And that relationship He wants forever and ever. But my friends, it's a choice. The Lord, David said, is my shepherd. He had to choose for God to be his shepherd, right? He could have chosen someone else, something else. But David chose God. He made the right choice. And because he chose God, he had a shepherd who loved him, who was with him throughout the days of his life. And because David relied upon God. Though his many mistakes, his many flaws, times that he sinned, times that he repented, just different things in his life. At the end of the day, we know from Scripture that he finished the course, that he finished the race, and that he is now in the house of the Lord forever. And that can be true for every one of us as well, if the Lord is our shepherd. And so I close this morning just very simply asking you, is the Lord your shepherd? If not, this morning you've got a choice to make, and I would encourage you to make the same choice that David made and name the Lord as your shepherd. If you need to become a Christian, you've heard the gospel. And it tells us that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Or maybe you are a sheep, but you have gone off the path of righteousness, and you need restoration. You need forgiveness. This morning, He stands ready to forgive you if you will come home. If we can help you in any way, would you please come? As together we stand, and as we sing.